All right, welcome back. Keep your seatbelts buckled up. We got a terrific hour to append to the first hour. We're going to really go through this one. This is going to be fun. Now, the next picture, well, by the way, just for you, if you came in late, we're talking with Harry about his trip in 2008, some 53 years after Hitler left this residence and went up to Bolivia and parts north, because Juan Perón was overthrown and Argentina was no longer a safe haven. So he had to leave this home, and he loved the home. I suspect he came back, snuck back a few times. I just do. I don't know why. It's just a thought. But these pictures are taken by Harry in 2008, 53 years after this furniture and what's left inside. Apparently, there the whole time. And you'll see close-ups of some of the actual pieces of furniture, and they look like they've been sitting there for 53 years, easy, abandoned, not taken care of, not being destroyed necessarily, although there were some that were intentionally destroyed by vandals. We'll get to that as well. 11C is the next picture, which shows you, as promised, the view from the inside to the outside. This would be from the office on the extreme right end of the house, as you're looking at it from a front view. This would be the left end inside the house. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, you're looking at one of the two little islands called the Twins that were right out in front of the place, which kind of blocked it from the main lake, because this is way up a finger of that lake. And unless you knew what you were looking for, it was hard to spot this. I'm talking way back in the day. Now Everybody knows it's there. Plus, unfortunately, Argentina built highway number, I think it's 40, that goes all the way across and comes out into Chile. And unfortunately, it goes right past the farm part of Inalco. Literally, you could throw a rock from the road to the first one of the barns. And so that allows vandals and thieves to come out. And all they got to do is jump over a fence, and then they're in the compound. Right.
When you were there in 2008, that road had not been finished for very long at all.
I don't think it was even in yet at that point.
It was being worked on then, I guess. It basically loops the lake, circles the lake, and then on the western side goes up and over the Andes into Chile. That's the road.
Right.
So it's a major road. Now, one of the things that when Harry was first on the program, and this is setting the stage for what's coming up next, is that I asked him, there's no one living there. There's a caretaker who watches the grounds. I said, well, how thoroughly is he watching the grounds? I don't know. We just didn't know. Harry got to the house, went in, took these pictures, thank God, because we know what it looked like. And these chairs and furniture, the tables and so forth, had been there just sitting since Hitler and Eva Braun left. And picture number 14, which these are out of sequence, but just go from 11C to 14. You'll see, look carefully, on the left is the big leather chair. There's the brass and glass coffee table. And you can see the wear on the two green chairs. See the cushions? They used to be like 4.5, 5 inches square thick. They were all compressed down. The leather was rotting away. And things were not looking good. And my first thought was, my God, this furniture has to be protected. I'm not going to go too much further into it, but if this furniture hadn't been immediately moved on at that time, it would have been destroyed, stolen, looted. And there are pictures that I'll show you of those two green chairs. If you go to the next picture, third line down, far left, there's a close-up of the two chairs. Now, you'll see the one on the left has had a knife slashed through it. That is a knife cut. And then the leather just kind of shriveled away from it. See the top? It's still intact. The two cushions on the bottom have been given some kind of faux leopard-sewn covers. But those are the two chairs in worse condition than they were when Harry first saw them in 2008. That's important. And the next picture shows them again without the cushions on them, and you can see the quality of workmanship. That's the seat, the underseat part of the chair. See the sewing, the leather work, the liner work, and underneath that lining are coils, vertical coils. That's how they used to do it. And these beautiful leather chairs had coils which were broken and leaning over, and then they've been sitting there for over 50 years. All right, so those are the two green chairs, and that's the story of them. Next picture is of not the great room fireplace. That's another fireplace. I believe that was in the office room. Do we think that's right, Harry? You know.
I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was as you go in toward the back of the house, which you're facing the hill now. There's an aisle or a hallway, whatever, off to your left, and I think this is in one of the rooms off to the left, if I remember correctly. Now, that was a long time ago.
Yeah. So the wall, look at the ceiling. Appears to be drywall type construction. The walls are 1x6 pine from indigenous trees. They're milled probably right on the scene.
Yeah, they got a lot of trees there.
Yes. Next picture shows the green sofa, mm-hmm. which could be vintage 45 easily. If you do your furniture research, you can see that style. There were back cushions, which I believe are now being used to sit on there. Some cushions are missing already,
because mm-hmm.
there were back cushions. And look at the floor again, maybe 3-4 inch thick. Solid wood all the way.
Walk on that, and it doesn't creak, it doesn't buckle, it doesn't flex, it just there, solid.
Got it. And the next picture, number 16 on the numbering, or is it 18? 18. Shows the back of the sofa, which has, in this picture, been moved, I believe, to a different room. That is not the great room. That's a different fireplace. And if you look to the left, there was no door there going out to the front lawn. You had a big view window, and you had that oak table by the view window. So I think the sofa at this point had been moved to a different location. This may have been a later picture you took. I'm not sure when you went back.
I think so. I think this was in the closest guest house, I think, because we spent the night. Mm-hmm. The last time we were there, my group and I spent the night in the guest house, and this fireplace and the door looks familiar. I'd have to dig out my own album with the dates and everything on it, but that fireplace was our only heat, and it was wintertime when we were there. The electric is on. And we had hot water, we had showers, but there was no heat other than the fireplace. And about midnight, the fire went out, and it got a bunch brisk in there.
I'll bet. Now, the next picture is of the table. Now, go back to the second row of pictures, count four from the left, and take a look, and you'll see the table in the center of three view windows up against the window. We call that the breakfast table, with the one wooden Bavarian-style chair on the right end.
Yeah, it's old Proto 11B.
Yeah, 11, right. I knew there were more chairs than that. You wouldn't make just one chair like that. So a search was mounted for more chairs, okay? And that table. Mm-hmm. Now, the next picture, you see the table. That's number 20, at least on my numbering. And that's
20A.
Sitting 20A. Okay, he's renumbered them. Good, 20A. All right, 20A is in the office area at the far right end of the house. We think this may have been the great man's office. And that's the table that was in the great room in the center for the view. That's the breakfast table with two leaves in it. Okay, the next picture shows a view from behind the table, obviously looking out the window at the view of the lake. And you can see how after 50 years, the sun and the elements, heat, cold, the table has started to sag. The two leaves are in it. That's all indigenous oak. That is an oak table. The next picture should be a reverse view of the table. I don't know. It's 20B, Harry. Is that what you have?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing here. 20B of 56.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that table.
I guess Norberto renumbered them. I don't know.
Yeah. So that. Well, the ones I added, I renumbered. But that table, you can see now in the sun. It's not glaring. You can see the original finish and the coloring of the oak. The two leaves are in it. The top was very scratched up. It's right now, the furniture is safe. It has been restored. It is immaculate. That's the good news about sometimes in history, you're able to do things that really preserve important things. The next two pictures are two more shots of the table. We think, again, this is the office area as you look at the house on the right end of it. And the next one is another picture of it showing a little bit more of the bowing, how it's sagged down. Now, the next picture, 22A, is very interesting. It's that same table, but sitting on top of it are two very large planks. They're about 7 feet long. 3.5, 4 inches thick, and 18 inches across. There are two of them there. At that point in time, that top two planks were the formal dining table. They were moved over and put on that oak table while they were all being moved out of the house for safety's sake to a safe and secure location. And so it's two tables right there. You got the two planks for the formal dining table. Under that is the oak breakfast table by the window. Now, next is very interesting. That's 23, and the next one after that is 24. Look at 23 first. Now, you can see there is artwork on the drawer. It's a nightstand. And then at the bottom, there's a big door that opens up. And on that door was something that was removed. And what was removed from there, I believe, was a piece of artwork. Painting. Somebody painted something, maybe the man of the house, and it was stuck on that night table. We think that might be Eva Braun's night table, one of them. And then the top, there's an opening on the top. You can see it. It's a piece of wood now, but it's open. You can look right in the top drawer, and it was either glass or something else on the top, some kind of inlaid wood. Now, the next picture is fascinating. Harry, this picture came from another person down there that Harry knew,
right.
And picture number 24. And I will say that after doing this program for decades and having a lot of paranormal activity and things shown, I suspect that what you see, and if you blow that picture up and look at it, something blurry appears to be coming out of that nightstand.
I see that in a picture. It caught my eye.
It's not something hanging in front of the camera. It's not a finger. It's something blurred that's going in or out of that piece of furniture. That's my best guess. No one else has come up with a better
explanation. Well, in photo number 23, it isn't there. So.
Correct. No, it was captured.
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to... The person taking that picture happened to catch something in that picture that may live in that piece of furniture. I don't know. This is a strange world. Remember that. Next picture.
You're not kidding.
Is again the outside view from the office end of the beautiful building, this wonderful Bavarian style residence. That was the view. It was all lawn at a time. On the left was a mound for flowers, and it was gorgeous back in the day. Okay, go ahead, Harry. Bring us up to date, then we're going to jump into that big dining table next.
Okay, not much to bring up to date here. We go to, you know, the place has just been allowed to go to hell, but somehow this furniture has been saved and restored and put into a very safe place, which you can touch on if you wish, otherwise not. And then you want to look at number 26, I believe, for the table, right?
Right. The
one hell of a table.
The formal dining table had six chairs, and I believe there might have been a chair at each end, the head of the table, so to speak, and the other head of the table. It could hold eight people maximum. Those are two enormous planks of wood that came from one tree. We think that one tree, the trunk, was split in half and unfolded like that, and those two pieces were finished. They have on the sides, they call it live edge. That's actually a piece of wood on each side with the bark still on it from the tree from which that wood was taken.
And those planks weigh a couple of hundred pounds a piece.
112 and 103. They weigh slightly differently.
Yeah,
the base of the table was made from indigenous tree of some kind with that real kind of like barnacle growth on it. And it made for quite an impressive base for the table. Now, you'll see the six chairs. When Harry was there, they were all in fine condition. No problem. Very well made. Brass feet on the front two legs of each chair. And then things went to hell. But let's go back and look at more pictures of the table. The first one on the column is 26 on the left. Mm-hmm. We go to the next one, which is 27. You can get a little bit better look at it. Very rustic, very, very, a very bold statement for a dining table. I know about a little bit about this stuff. My mother was editor of Architectural Digest magazine for 37 years, and I kind of grew up around special things, and I've been very lucky to understand and appreciate many of them I wouldn't otherwise have paid much attention to. So you can see four pictures of the big dining table, which is composed, again, of two end pieces and two planks and six chairs. Now, by the time the chair rescue operation was conducted, the chairs had been brutally vandalized. The next picture, number five over, is number 30. And if you look at each chair, the backs of those chairs are all broken. And the one that's severely taped up had been carved up with a knife. Somebody had gone in there and picked those chairs up and held them by the back legs and bashed the back of the chair onto the ground, shattering each one.
Yeah, brain-dead idiots.
Yeah, because of who owned them. That's the motivation. The next picture, 31, shows the... Now, there are many more pieces there than you might at first see. I put them together as best I could, and we got a picture of them. There are only two of the tops of the chairs, the backs, the bottom center and the right, and those were the backs of the chairs. They were able to be restored. I had four new tops made, the curved piece on the top, and they're looking fabulous now. The next picture shows just one of them that wasn't cut up. It shows the seat cushion and the back, how that
back
still
busted,
held together,
yeah.
Even though it was bashed, number 32. And we'll go next row, and you can see number 33. If you look carefully, you'll see punctures in the seat.
Oh, yeah, little stab wounds.
That it was done with a screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
And the next one, we're getting now into... the black chair, the story of the black armchair. Here it is again, out of the big room, the great room, moved into another part of the great room, You can get a side view of it. You look at the style of that. That's 40s, 50s style. Very, very handsome chair, very comfortable chair, leather chair.
And how would you know it was comfortable? Pass on to the next photo.
Picture, number 37, shows the back of the chair moved to a different part of the residence near the windows. And you can see the top back of it where the leather is all dried out, cracked, and it's falling apart.
Messed up.
Yeah. This chair also had cushions, and then it also under the cushions had the springs, coiled springs. They were all falling apart and broken. They had to be all individually hand-tied.
Yeah, they had been ignored for decades.
Well, you were the first person to really get in there in 53 years. Number 38, the next picture, shows a side view of the great leather chair. Now, the cushion, you might notice, the seating where you sit on, had been recovered by somebody. That's not leather, that's vinyl. Somebody recovered the seat cushion for it. But let's go to the next picture. It shows the full frontal view of the chair.
Oh, boy.
The arms, the leather's gone, and it's just bad. Now, the seat cushion, again, is not original, but the stuffing in the seat cushion is original. And when the chair was restored, all the original seat cushion material was saved and used in a new cushion. You see the back of the chair. If you look to the bottom of the back, there's a vertical white spot right above that seat cushion. That's a knife cut. Somebody slashed it with a knife. Very well-designed chair for the man of the house. And quite a story about that for sure. Okay, but all these things they're restored, they're safe, they weren't completely destroyed and stolen, and they all would have been gone. Thanks to Harry Cooper and working with me, we got this done. It took a year and a half to get the two big planks out through customs.
I remember that. They had to be fumigated, didn't they?
Well, they were claiming there might have been pests in there, and I had many calls to the U.S. Department of Agriculture about importing wood from other countries, and it was a battle.
They didn't realize all the pests were in the White House.
You got it. Okay, moving on, we have a bathroom scene. White tile was common back then in the bathrooms. That may be a kind of a kitchen area now, I'm not sure. Might have been a kitchen area in the beginning. Harry, you take it from here. Go ahead.
Might have been a shower area or what they call a mud room nowadays, because there was an entrance right off the outside. And it appears like there's a fixture, a chrome fixture in the wall. It might have been a shower head, a handle to turn on a shower.
That's
who knows.
Like it. Yeah, yeah. Right near the window. That would be the control for the shower head. So
I would think, yeah.
That's a newer stainless steel sink that's been obviously put in there for preparation of whatever. Go ahead.
I'm ready to go down there again because I got a few other places to see, but I'm still waiting to get, two things. First off, I'm waiting to get approval from the new commander at Mar del Plata Navy Base for me to return and look at all the documents that were on board U-977 and U-530. According to history, there were no documents on board those boats at all, but yet when I was there in 2008, they showed me several boxes full of these things, so I want to get permission to go back down there and photo every one of those documents. So once I get that, plus, then I got to find another angel or scrimp up some money. But, getting down there, the airfare is the tough part, but I've got enough points saved up.
Right.
So the permission is the big thing. Once I get the permission, plus the two doctors up in Brazil who are experts on holding, they're ready to take me down that trail for a while. All I got to do is get permission from that one base commander, and then we're off. But right now, it's
Please don't forget, down there. I want that English. I've got my little debit card, and I want to get that book. I want to get the English version of that book. So please don't. Let's not forget that before they're all gone.
Which book is this now?
Holdings.
Oh, yeah. I've got the thumb drive sitting right here in front of me. I'm looking at my desk with it.
I want to get
the whole, when I said it's dead of winter down there. It's hot summer right now.
Right. Okay, let's buzz through these pictures and get to the punchline here.
Number
40 shows the stairs going up. When I said drywall-type construction before, most people don't know that they used to use lath and plaster. So those walls were almost all plaster walls. They didn't. It wasn't
right,
a slam, slam-up job.
They had a wood frame and then kinked up wire mesh, and then they plaster it.
That's it. Okay, so we're going up the stairs. When we go upstairs, we see again this ornate pine vertical, 1x4s, 1x5s. That's how they did it. And the floor, again, is all this gorgeous solid hardwood. So that's upstairs, the first picture. Second one, upstairs, shows another view, another closet. With shelving
in it. Well off to the left on that picture.
Uh-huh. That closet, that's all original. And the ceiling is, again, it's 1x6 or so. All natural wood. Then we come to a bathroom
scene.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know about the bathroom, Harry. It looks to me like there might have been a shower in the corner in this one. You got two controls. I'm not sure. Or a bathtub.
Yeah, that's a shower. You can see the shower head up above. And it's got a little gutter down at the bottom to where the shower water didn't mush out onto the floor around the toilet. It stayed in that little enclosure and down the pipe.
Original toilet, original sink, do you believe?
I would think so. I've seen stuff like that in old homes in Germany. So be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next picture appears to be a duplicate, and we'll go beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it is.
And we see another view of a bedroom, one of the upstairs bedrooms. Might be the master bedroom, I don't know. But at some point, there were single beds up there for what appear to be guests. We're going to guess. That's what it was. Two closets, double doors. And you can see this picture was taken through an outside window, because you can see the reflection of the front of the house in the on the right side of the picture there.
That's correct. I took that picture.
Next picture, again, two beds up there, more modern mattresses, but the bed frames probably were original.
They looked a little beat up.
Yeah. And the last picture in the next to last row, again, through a glass, through a window, shows you an empty room and the view.
Yeah, this was not 2008. This was some years later when the place was emptied out.
All right. The last row of pictures. Let's start there now. This is going to be fun. The first one, number 48. It looks like snow all over the house. Click on that, bring it up, and again, we're in gallery under Harry's name and guests at the top of rents.com on the left. That is not snow.
No, it's not. Unfortunately, it's not. It's volcanic ash because I think it was the year 2011. I'm not positive, but, you know, I'm away from my notes, but El Tronador, which I think means the thunderer, in Chile erupted. And, of course, the prevailing winds were out of the west to the east, and it just brought volcanic ash by the zillions of tons and just dumped it all over the place. And it was about 4 inches thick on the roof and on the ground, and it killed all the grass. And it didn't do very nice things for the roof either.
No, it was acidic, I imagine, and it ruined the soil. And,
yeah.
What Harry and I were talking about at the time and I mentioned this earlier, we wanted nothing more than for this home to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have bought it in a second if we could have found a benefactor and gone down there and lived in it and rehabilitated the whole thing.
Yeah,
next
as
picture.
I said at the time, we had plenty of artisans and craftsmen in membership who would have volunteered to go down there and spend 2, 3, 4 weeks working with the plumbing, the electric, and everything, but wasn't in the cards.
Picture number 49, the next one over, after the ash, volcanic ash picture, shows the Inalco Bavarian home looking tired. That deer is still there on the right. You can see him. And it's just screaming, Harry,
help, help,
Jeff, save it, save us, yeah. Help us. Next picture, third picture over from the bottom. Good view showing detail of the degradation of the exterior of the home. Now, the wood walls were fine. They were still solid. But on the weather side, they were showing their age. And the roof was leaking, as we said.
Yeah.
And so that's a very interesting picture, number 50. Number 51, 50A rather, is a close-up of the same thing, 50A, and you'll see how the wood is just screaming to be worked on,
re-oiled,
taken care of.
Yeah, and then in the center, you're looking right straight through the house out the back window, but the other windows are showing the reflections of the mountains in the area.
Uh-huh, and the interesting thing about these pictures is that nothing has been done to this house for 53 years. That's yeah. the time Harry got there. And that was 2008. So that's 10, 12, 14, 15 years ago. So that would be 70 years that house has been just left to sit there and withstand the elements on its own. All right. Picture...
Yeah.
Number 51. It doesn't really need a whole lot of explanation. When Harry sent me this picture, I was around 4 a.m. I didn't sleep that night. I didn't bother.
I should have waited until after you woke up.
I couldn't believe my eyes. Somebody went there. It looks like a boat, perhaps, and took a picture. The house and property have obviously been sold. And whoever bought it has saved the home. It's in process there.
Yeah, it appears like that. I forget who this came from. We got a lot of members down there, and they're keeping on top of this. And this came to me just about 2 hours before I sent it to you.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. If you know anything about house construction, if you know what fascia board is, that's the board that is... from the peak of the roof down each side, it's about 6 inches, 8 inches, 2 by 8 usually, and that goes under the roof line, left and right. It's like an upside down V. That's called fascia trim. Fascia has all been replaced on the house. It had to.
It looks like it.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the picture before, you can see there's a brand new roof on the house. No more leaks. Whoever is doing it has dug up the entire front lawn area, which was ruined with the volcanic ash that you can still see on the near side of the view here, right front foreground, the white gray in there, that's volcanic ash. So they dug it all out. They're either going to put new soil in there and replant it, make a big lawn out of it, or, God forbid, a parking lot. But look, I'm sure Harry felt the same or more than I did. I was so elated. This house has been professionally sanded, probably maybe blasted. I'm not sure. They can do that with wood. It's going to be stained. It's not stained yet. It's just taken down to bare wood, and the wood is just fine. They built this house as a forever house,
yeah,
and it's great. So This was such incredibly good news. You can go ahead and look at the next two pictures. I had them enlarged so you can get a better look. If you look at the next one, you'll see that the fascia boards are new. They're yeah, clearly replacements, which is fine.
And probably the soffit as well.
I would think so. Yeah, yeah.
Because I need that done on my house.
Yeah. And the next one is another view. If you look to the left of the very last picture, you'll see an archway over a double doors, and that's
right,
the same doorway that Harry went in
yep,
2008.
Yep, that is correct. It's good to see that this place is bouncing back. As for additional information, I'm still waiting to hear from some of my people down in Argentina, and one of them says there's quite a story coming up here, but he hasn't told us what the story is.
Right.
Martin.
I read you what he wrote me, and we're going to learn
right,
the whole thing. We don't know who bought it. We don't know the motivation. Was it just a rich European family who wanted a nice piece of property and a beautiful home to restore and live in? Or will it be a restoration that will make note of who lived in it for 10 years,
yeah,
for perhaps tourism?
Remember, according to the Argentine Constitution, this is what they call borderlands because it's close to the Chile border, and only natural-born Argentinians may own that property. So, who knows? Many years ago, there was a sale pending. A very wealthy Argentine soybean farmer from up in, I think it was Cordoba province, had more or less bought or placed an offer on the house, whatever, and it was for something like $28 million, and all of a sudden it just fell apart, and we never knew why and never knew what happened to the offer. It just disappeared. So now who was it? I don't know. We're working on that. We got people down there. We'll get it.
We'll have a full report probably next month for you.
I'm sure we will.
This is like an act of God to have saved this house. It could have easily been said, we're going to tear it down and just bulldoze the whole thing. It wouldn't have gone down easily. We know that. The house was perfectly salvageable. And
yep. Well, you kept saying that. I kept saying it's beyond help, and you kept saying, no, it can be brought back, and looks like you were right. I was not wrong, however. I was merely misinformed, because, I've never been wrong.
No. God forbid.
Yeah, my wife throws that at me all the time.
It's not all she throws at. Never mind. All right. I'm just kidding. Let's see. Kay doesn't throw anything except kindness and support.
Yeah, she's a great lady. And I had to break her heart yesterday when I told her I got the call from the repair shop that our travel trailer was dead. She cried for hours.
Well, maybe parts of it will live. I'll put it in my school bus.
Yeah, okay. Oh, just a quick flashback. Way back in the day when I was racing short tracks around Chicago, I bought a school bus, took out all the seats, and cut the back open and put the ramp down. I'd drive my race car right up in there, chain it down, and we'd drive to the track like that.
Good for you.
It was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you a picture of the guy. I got this bus for cheap. I mean, ridiculous. So I don't have a lot of money, but I was able to get it, and it's in perfect condition.
Good.
So that's one way to do it. But maybe we can put the old gal to work with carrying your stuff around in it. Who knows?
There's always something to think about.
Yes. Now, for those of you who have been with us for any length of time, you understand the Inalco story. And I hope you share the joy that we both feel about this wonderful piece of history being saved. It's almost as good as, not as good as, but it's close to Hitler's residence in near the Eagle's Nest, and that beautiful, beautiful...
Yeah, the Berghof.
The Berghoffs could have been and should have been saved without any question. No question.
Of course. And the same with Bormann's house, Goering's house. But, you know, the horrible Nazis, we got to tear it down. That'll erase the history. Oh, my God. No.
I know. It's incredible. So we don't know who bought it. Martine did say that it's a sensitive story about who bought it. I don't know how to read that exactly, but we will find out soon.
You don't try to read anything into it because we don't know. So
right.
Like trying to solve an equation without having any of the details.
The most important thing, if you look through the pictures, you see the vandalism to the six dining chairs. They were all broken to hell. The knife slash on the two green chairs. And by the way, the back of the green chairs, one of them was also cut to hell. And then the slash on the big arm, black arm chair, the leather arm chair for the man of the house.
I remember seeing those when I was down there a few years ago. Terrible.
Did I send you pictures of the final on the restoration?
Yep.
Okay.
They're off in my computer.
So the building is saved. Thank goodness. And if they want to make a tourist attraction out of it, low-key, they'll make a fortune.
They'll make a fortune.
See, they won't have the original furnishings, but they're safe at least. And
They could replace it with period furniture.
They could have been lost to history.
Yeah.
Easily. And I wouldn't even dare tell you how much it costs to restore those two green chairs. It's crazy. There are very few good leather workers left.
Yeah.
These are real leather.
Beautiful. Tradesmen are going out the door because nobody repairs things anymore. You just throw it away and buy something new made in China.
That disposable culture we live in.
I almost got thrown out of a flea market a couple of weeks ago. We were there. Kay wanted to go to this flea market, and there's this big long table with all sorts of stuff, and there's a full-size American flag in a pouch, and it says made in China. So I yelled at the guy, so what the hell are you doing selling American flags made in China? He said, well, that's where they're all made nowadays. I said, no, that's not where they're all made. And Kay was rooting around on his table. I said, Kay, get away from this guy's table. He's selling American flags made in China. We don't buy nothing from him. So there was another guy and his wife at the other end of the table. He's got flags made in China. We're leaving. So And I got into a flap like that in Walmart. I yelled out loud in Walmart, what the hell is wrong with you guys selling American flags made in China? Please, sir, keep it down. No, I don't. Otherwise, we'll have to have you thrown out. So,
right. Well, I...
It ain't just in the U.S. Every place you go, made in China is everywhere.
Right. Oh, one other thing I should mention.
Funding their military growth.
Yes, we are. One other thing I should mention about the oak breakfast table with two leaves in it, the one by the window, the view window.
The saggy one.
You're right. Well, it's not saggy anymore. But we think that in all likelihood, they had most of their meals there.
That would make sense, yeah. Not at a formal table.
The one solid wood Bavarian style chair that's on the right end of that table in the window picture. I was right. There were six, and they were found, and they're all safe. Well, that's another good thing.
And if we want to know what Hitler did, people ask me what did Hitler do for these years. And for the longest time, I couldn't answer that question because I didn't know. Well, we've uncovered a diary, and we've done another book on it, The Plan to Rescue Hitler. And it explains how he had been going to receptions. He was still looked on as Der Führer with all these old German families there. And by seaplane, of course, because that was the only way in and out. at that time. And there was even a plot to assassinate him. And but the German security around Bariloche and around the lake, etc., they found out that these six guys speaking excellent German, living or visiting in Bariloche, they were strange because they weren't chasing girls, they weren't hunting, they weren't fishing, they weren't skiing. So they started watching these guys, and they found out these were really Soviet guys that were coming to assassinate Hitler. So they brought in three weapons specialists led by a member of Shark Hunters, Adolf Galland, and they brought in a bunch of defensive machine guns and set up a perimeter just off the lake, and they got word that they were, that the assassins were on their way in a rubber boat, and they waited, I think it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, they waited till these guys were almost ashore to where they had absolutely no escape, then all the floodlights came on and the machine guns came on and they killed them all, and took all their weaponry and encased it in concrete, took it out and dumped it into the lake, and the bodies, they cut them up, encased them in concrete, and dumped them too. You'd think these guys were part of the Chicago Mafia. But that's in that newest book, the plan to rescue Hitler.
Interesting.
Very you never interesting. Even knew about that, did you? Because we just put it together.
No, I did know about the attempt to kill him and that it was unsuccessful. I didn't know that much.
And there's so much we're finding out now, like this beautiful 20-year-old Jewish girl at Auschwitz, which was a forced labor camp. And Mengele thought she was beautiful, so he had her sterilized, and he was using her the whole time, you know, for sex, so she couldn't get pregnant. And when the war was over, he scattered down to South America. And in the 60s now, this gal's probably, what, in her 40s, I guess. She was a nurse, a Jewish gal. She and a few friends came over to Argentina by sheer coincidence and wound up down in Bariloche by sheer coincidence. And they were mountain climbers, they said. And they went to a dance. And doggone, by sheer coincidence, she wound up face-to-face with Mengele, the guy who had sterilized her and was using her for about 2 or 3 seconds. And they disappeared. And by sheer coincidence, 2 days later, she fell off a mountain. Imagine that. That's all stuff in our newer books.
This is,
and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that it ain't no coincidence.
Well, facts are facts. Okay. It's just the way it is. Oh, one other thing. For you people out there who really like old furniture and so forth, and there are a lot of people who do, the picture of the breakfast table, the oak breakfast table, which is number 20B, first picture on the left of the fourth column, I believe. Yeah. It shows the sun illuminating the original finish, the legs and the sides under the top. The top had to be refinished, but it was done to match the original color, and the legs and the sides were not touched. They were just oiled up, cleaned up, and so it's all original, except the tops, they were so scraped up and scratched, they had to be fixed. But the table is beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of table. Whatever was in that house was first class. Everything.
Yeah.
And we've got a story somewhere of a young Argentine lieutenant who was summoned to visit Juan Perón and the official residence, wherever it was, in Buenos Aires. And Perón handed this young lieutenant a sealed briefcase and said, I need you to take this down to a certain location. You won't know where you're going. You're just going to be taken there. And I want you to hand deliver it to a very special man. And here are the instructions. And the lieutenant wrote this all up in his 80s about how he went down there and what happened and handed it to Hitler and what Hitler did and his cordiality. And we've got to find that story. I sent it to you. It's there somewhere. I probably got it here somewhere, too.
I hope so.
It's a fascinating story.
I've looked for it here, and anything you send me on an email is still on my computer. Important stuff right. like that, I file it into a different section on my computer, and then I back it up. I got 6 different external hard drives. I back them all up every week or two, and so it's here someplace.
But we'll find
all
it.
All I need is the time to look for it.
We will share that with all of you as well.
Yeah.
And hope you've enjoyed this. It's a look at history. You'll never hear anything like this anywhere else. This is the truth. Harry went there. He's been there many times. With the new owner
times.
Now having taken over, I don't know that you'll have access again like you did. I just don't know. I hope so. But
well,
I,
that's true. We'll find out, though, because, you know, I'm a charming guy. I'd knock on the door and ask if this is the local cat house or whatever, and that'll open the door.
I'm still hanging around you. I don't know how long it's been. You're not completely intolerable.
We go down there with Martin, because I don't speak Spanish. He just knocks on the door with these people, and he tells them that I'm a historian from the United States. We don't lie about anything, right. And that I'm interested in such and such, whatever the area is, and until we speak. That's how I got to spend a couple of hours with the daughter of the guy that owned the estancia where that big Ju-390 landed when it brought Hitler down there.
Right. Well, Harry also talked to a woman who, as a little girl, heard the plane land that night. She heard the
I'm just
thing.
Looking through my stuff, and I've found the interview with her.
Oh, excellent. That's worth a publication as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm trying to get everything posted because we got kicked off of YouTube, sleazy bums. But we're reinitiating everything on BitChute, but I just don't have the time. I got to find somebody that'll do it for me onto BitChute, Bright Eon, Rumble, and
Guy,
I'm
Harry,
looking
at
a file
first...
right now with about 200 websites that we can post videos on. We got 200 or 300 videos and 100 or more sites. That's a full month's worth of full time work.
A lot of work. I need someone to help me move Rent's videos to my new channel on Rumble. First time I've ever had a channel, trying to move them from one location to another. Now, this is real history. These are real facts. There's nothing made up here at all. And
true.
I just think it's extraordinary. You're also the first person I've ever heard pronounce Bright Eon properly. Even Mike Adams doesn't say it right. It's Bright Eon. If they had capitalized the E, they'd have had it. He says Brighteon, Brighteon, Brighteon.
Oh, my goodness.
No, it's not Brighteon. It's Bright Eon. It's obvious what it is. But nobody pronounces it that way. You're the first person I've ever heard do it.
I'm surprised.
You did it right.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah, anyway, good job. Okay, we got to run. We're running late. I hope all of you enjoyed this. Harry is there at sharkhunters.com. Do join if you're not a member, if you like history and like this kind of material. It's there for you. All right,
yeah,
thanks,
send
Admiral.
Send an email to sharkhunters@sharkhunters.com, and I'll send you the current issue of the magazine electronically, no charge.
Very nice. And look at the homepage at Rents. We've got a direct link, a portal, to Harry's magnificent book collection. Okay. All right, partner. Talk to you soon.
Thank you much, pal. You have a great evening. I'm going to bed.
Good job. Okay, Harry. Good night. Good night. All right, we'll be right back with much more. Hold on.